I'll tell you what, it's already been worth the 3 centimeters of snow. Amen. I'll tell you what, praise God, what an awesome presence of God is in this place today. I tell you, you've come hungry for the word, come hungry just to praise God. And I'll tell you what, of course, we have a wonderful anointed praise and worship team, you know, and they're doing their part. We're doing our part. Amen. We know that God's always going to do his part. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Well, we just welcome you today. We welcome those that are visiting Family Church for the very first time. We're just so glad to have new faces with us. Praise the Lord. You're not just here to, you know, fill a seat. We want to connect you with the destiny that God has for your life. For those of you that are visiting, my name is Pastor Tim Stallman. I'm the senior pastor here. Pastor Brad Hofer is our associate pastor. We just welcome you. We're just so glad to have you. Amen. We know that God's got good plans for your life. He tells us over there in Jeremiah 29:11, he says, I know the thoughts and plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans not to harm you, but to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. Aren't you glad?
Yes.
Aren't you glad? Because I tell you what, this world is having less and less to offer. But God always has more and more to offer. Amen. Hallelujah. So we just welcome you here today. We're just so glad that you could be with us. Exciting news with the Hoferts expecting. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. And of course, Pastor Brad mentioned, you know, during tithes and offerings, we don't spend the tithe on things, you know, on us first. You know, we always give the tithe to God first, and he was mentioning you don't spend it on a hunting rifle and so on. But I got some big news to announce today that I'm expecting a new hunting rifle. I got one on mail order, but I didn't spend the tithe on it. Okay, some of you need to get a sense of humor. Yeah, that's. So you think the Hofers have big news today? Well, I made sure to trump that. Well, of course, we have a lot of outdoorsmen and stuff in this church, and that's why a lot of us are laughing. But for the rest of you who are not, we apologize, but not really. How many of you are glad to have fun in church? How many of you know that the Bible says a merry heart does good like a medicine? Amen. You know, that verse was just put in there so when times when a pastor gets silly and, you know, the congregation gets laughing, we can always revert back to that one. It's a great bailout, right? Amen. Well, who's ready for the Word of God today? Praise the Lord. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4 this morning. I'm going to call this message, What Rest Really Is. What rest really is. You say, well, rest, he's going to preach a sermon on rest? Yep. You know, you might be sitting here thinking, the rest of what? No, I'm talking about rest. I'm talking about rest. Amen. I can tell already that we're going to get silly somewhere along the way. Praise God. What rest really is. See, rest is essential to our spiritual health, to our emotional health, our mental health, and our physical health. Amen. Many times, you know, believers are having unresolved issues in their life that are plaguing them year after year after year, and they don't realize why. Well, the source of it is because they never got to a place of rest. And here's the thing, is that rest is supposed to define us as believers in the New Testament. We have entered, the Bible says, we have entered into the era of rest. This is what the Old Testament could not offer. This is what the New Testament does offer. It is at the heart of God's will is for us to have rest, spirit, soul, and body. But a lot of God's people today are completely neglecting the idea of rest. They don't even know what rest is. I'm not talking about just getting enough sleep. I'm not talking about just taking naps and things like that. I'm talking about a rest that comes from deep within inside of you, and it permeates into all of your being, right? Of course, good sleep and, you know, good eating habits and, you know, the natural things are included. But it starts having rest from the inside out. And a lot of people, a lot of God's people have neglected this idea. They don't know what rest is. They're wondering why some things aren't clicking for them, things aren't happening, because they've never gotten into God's rest. And we got to know what exactly it is. Amen. Amen. This is probably the area that is the most neglected and looked over by God's people. And it can't be that way anymore. We are supposed to be God's children of rest in peace. Amen. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. Let's start in verse 1. We're just going to kind of go down through the first 11 verses here in Hebrews chapter 4. And we're going to get a good idea of what rest really is. Some of you are working to accomplish what God has already done. You know what I mean? You're trying to work yourself out of a trial. You're trying to strain and stress and just get there with effort. See, we got to also be careful not to teach away from diligence, okay? Because we have to stay diligent with God, and it does take effort to be a doer of the word, right? We as a Bible-believing church, some people have labeled us charismatic, Pentecostal, full gospel, whatever label you want to put on it. Well, we just happen to believe that you actually do what the Bible says to do. Right, and actually God's word is to be manifested, it's to be demonstrated. When the Bible tells me to rejoice, it's time to rejoice. It doesn't mean, okay, I'm rejoicing. Trust me, I'm rejoicing in the depths of my heart, I'm rejoicing. No, that's not what the Bible means. I'll tell you, Jesus said whatever's in your heart is going to come onto the outside. If you got joy in your heart, you're going to have joy on the outside. Amen. And it's a contradiction to say, well, I got joy in my heart, I just don't express it. No, that's like God saying, I have salvation for you, but I'm not going to express it. The Bible says that Jesus is the express image of God.
That's right. Amen.
God didn't just say, hey, I got salvation for you, trust me. He said, here, I'll show you. My son will come to the earth. He'll manifest. He'll take upon himself flesh. He'll act and he'll do these things. The word became flesh.
Yes, it did.
In the same way, our lives are to be the Word becoming flesh.
Amen.
All right? So we believe in the Word of God manifesting actively in our lives. It's supposed to be demonstrated physically.
That's right.
Right? Yes. At the same time, though, we don't take things so far and just try to work ourselves into God's blessings. And so we're going to strike the proper balance here today. Amen? We're going to learn what rest really is. Before I get into Hebrews chapter 4, I need to make sure that I take a few moments and put it into context. Because, you know, you think that a lot of, folks, you know, have done their Old Testament homework, or maybe they grew up in Sunday school, but not all of us have. We're all at different places, and maybe we don't understand the story that goes behind Hebrews chapter 4, but it's talking about the Israelite people in the Old Testament, okay? Remember back there, back in the book of Exodus and so on, and starting in the last few chapters of Genesis and moving into the book of Exodus, how that the Israelite people were enslaved in Egypt for over 400 years. How many of you remember that, okay? And of course, God raised up Moses, who was a type, a shadow, a representation of Christ, right? Who Moses would lead those Israelite people out of the bondage of Egypt and lead them into the land of Canaan, which was the land of promise, the land of blessing, the place of God's rest for them, okay? And so, of course, Moses led these people, but how many of you remember that those people were not very grateful? How many of you know that they complained against Moses, they complained against God, and here God was raising them up a savior, so to speak, Moses, to take them out of slavery, right? Okay, but on the way they complained and they disobeyed God, and many of them died in the wilderness, and they spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness when it should have taken them less than a few weeks to get through it. But they delayed their blessing. A lot of them were overthrown. They were rejected. Even though God had a salvation for him, he had a place of rest. He had a land of promise. He had a land flowing with milk and honey, the land of Canaan. Remember that? Okay? And now Hebrews chapter 4 is talking about the difference between us as New Testament believers and the Israelites as Old Testament believers. And he uses them as an example for us not to be that way. Okay? And so let's pick it up here. In verse 1, he says, let us therefore fear. The word fear there doesn't mean scared, it means reverence. I'm reading out of the King James Bible. Maybe you have a newer translation that properly, you know, translates it reverence or honor. So let us reverence or honor, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest. Everyone say his rest.
His rest.
That's very important. It doesn't just say of entering into rest. It says entering into his rest. Okay, and down through this chapter, it's going to say this over and over, talk about his rest.
Yes.
Because this, when it says his, it means God the Father.
Yes.
So God the Father has a promise of his rest.
Amen.
Awesome. Not your rest, not the world's idea of rest, not the Old Testament idea of rest, his idea of rest. He says, being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. He said, let us reverence, let us understand something, because you don't want to fall short of this place of God's rest. It says, for unto us, New Testament Christians, was the gospel preached as well as unto them, the Old Testament Israelites. Okay? He says, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now, the word gospel there, it means good news or glad tidings. Okay? Just like we have had a message of glad tidings preached to us, right? Jesus is our deliverer from the bondage of sin and the slavery to the devil.
Right?
Right? Just like the Israelites had a message of glad tidings that Moses was going to lead them out of bondage and slavery of Egypt.
That's right.
Okay? So that's what it means when we both, the Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints, have both received good news from God.
Right.
Glad tidings, okay? And they both include being delivered from bondage.
Amen.
And both were given a promise of entering into rest.
Yes.
In the Old Testament, the place of rest was the land of Canaan. Now, in the New Testament, the place of God's rest is wherever you are, serving and obeying God from the inside out. His rest isn't just a physical location, it's wherever you are. Hallelujah. All right, so let's continue reading here. It says, so these people, they did not profit because it wasn't mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed, everyone say believed.
Believe.
Do we have any believers in here today?
Yes.
Do we have any Christians in here?
Yes.
Oh, okay, wow, we got like 15 Christians in here, wow. I didn't realize I pastored a pagan church here. Do we got any believers here today?
Yes.
All right. So now we which have believed do enter into rest. Now remember, it wasn't just any rest, it was his rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they, talking about the Old Testament complainers and so on, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spoke in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all of his works. How many of you have read Genesis chapters 1 and 2?
Yes.
That God made the heaven and the earth and all of the creation, right? And remember, on day 7, what did he do?
Rest.
He rested, okay? So now that was his rest, okay? In verse 5, it says, and in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. All right. And I could keep on reading down to verse 11, but let's go back up here and start teaching this verse by verse. Go back up to verse 1. Number 1, the first thing I want you to see here today is the first thing is the promise, right? It says, let us reverence, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Notice, number 1, the promise of God is his rest, meaning that this is at the heart of God's plan for your life.
Yes. Yes.
Meaning, if you are not in rest, you are not in God's will.
Yeah, sure.
Get a hold of this. This is what God has for your life.
Yes.
This is at the heart of God's plan and purpose for you. Is that you enter into not just any kind of rest, but his rest. And if you're sitting here and you're just thinking, okay, Pastor Tim, I get it. I just want to know, what is his rest? What does it look like? We're going to talk about
Amen.
That.
Amen.
We won't leave you, you know, confused or anything like that. You'll know exactly what it's talking about here, okay? Rest. This place is the only place where God's will can be done. Get a hold of that. Rest is the place where only God's will can be done. Meaning, God does not move in a place where rest isn't the foundation. If you're not resting, if you're not in a place of rest, God cannot move. These Israelites never entered into rest. Okay? They never got there. Notice that the promise is it's completely possible to fall short of it.
Sure.
Many of God's people today are falling short of the promise of his rest.
Sure.
And you say, well, what are you talking about, Pastor Tim? Are you saying that there's a lot of people that are falling short of going to heaven? This isn't talking about going to heaven when you die. This is talking about entering into his rest
right
now. If you are not in rest, you are not in God's will. This resting place is the only place that God's will actually be done. The measure of rest that you are in is the measure of his will that can be done. Let me give you that again. The measure of rest that you are in is the measure of God's will that can be done. Right? No rest, no will of God. Okay? So if you are not in rest, God's will for your life is being hindered. You say, well, I'm a pretty restful, peaceful person. Well, we'll just see. We'll see. All right? Okay? Amen. So now let's keep on reading in verse 2. He says, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. Now, obviously, what was the gospel about? The glad tidings, obviously, the promise in verse 1 was the promise of his rest. What is the purpose of the gospel? Rest. What has man failed to have? What is humanity living without? Rest. Okay? If you were an Old Testament Jew, you would understand that the word rest means what? Sabbath. How many of you have ever heard that word Sabbath before?
Sure.
And a lot of people out there are arguing, what day is the Sabbath day? There's people that think Saturday is the Sabbath. Well, in the New Testament, Sunday is the Sabbath. Okay? Listen, anyone that's arguing what day is the true Sabbath day has missed the whole thing.
Right.
Because Sabbath isn't a day. Sabbath is a place.
Good.
I don't rest one day of the week. I rest for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
See, well, this is what you got to get a hold of. People say, well, Sunday's the day of rest, and well, today I can't do anything. Jesus dealt with that mentality. He said, which one of you, if your donkey falls into a pit, how many of you wouldn't get him out? Or no, actually, he says, lead your donkey to water. If you had a sheep or an animal that fell into a pit, wouldn't you lift them out on the Sabbath day?
Right.
Remember how religious the Old Testament Pharisees had gotten?
Yeah.
Right? Where they started, you know, and of course, that tradition carries on to this day, where they can't cook a meal on Saturday. You know, they can't. Jesus said, listen, you've all missed it.
Right.
He said, Sabbath wasn't made for God. It was made for man. And if you're just trying to take a day to rest, yes, there is a principle in the Word of God that we should have one full day to recoup our bodies during a week.
Oh, yeah.
That's not wrong. But rest is not just a day that you choose to worship God on.
Right.
Actually, the Bible says in Colossians 2 that there is no chosen day. It says there is no chosen day. There is none. Sunday is called in the Bible the Lord's Day.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it's appropriate to meet on Sunday and to worship. But rest isn't just a day. Rest is a lifestyle. Rest is an attitude. Rest is a state of mind. Rest is a state of inward peace. And if you're just trying to prescribe it to rules and regulations, you've missed the whole thing. Rest isn't a day that I visit. Rest is what I live in. 24/7 rest is ours. Hallelujah. Right? The second thing I want you to see here in verse 2 is the mixing of faith. We got to read verses 2 and 3 together because they go together. Watch this. A lot of times we've preached, well, you got to mix faith. You got to mix faith with a message, right? And that's a good message to preach. You can't just hear the word. You got to mix faith. You got to say something, right? You're going to have to use your words. The mouth of the upright shall deliver them. The tongue of the wise is health. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Jesus said, whoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be not cast in this, be thou removed, be cast in the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he says, he shall have whatsoever he says. So obviously faith is constantly speaking. You know, some of you, you're going through something. You know, you're facing trials, whether physically or financially or maritally or whatever it is, you're facing a trial. And the Bible says over there in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 6, the second part of the verse says, the mouth of the upright shall deliver them.
Yeah, amen.
You know, a lot of God's people are always saying, just somebody, find someone to lay hands on me and deliver me. I'll tell you where your deliverance is. It's in your mouth.
Yeah.
It's right there waiting for you. Please, if someone lay hands on me. If I just have enough people lay hands on me, maybe I'll get delivered. Well, maybe you've grown up spiritually enough where the laying on of hands isn't for you anymore. And let me understand what I mean by that. I'm saying there comes a time when our faith is going to have to grow up where we can't just depend on the healing line anymore. Say, well, I'll just wait till the special meetings. No, the mouth of the upright will deliver them. Say, well, Pastor Tim, I've gone through a real problem. I've been addicted to alcohol. I've been addicted to cigarettes or something. Well, guess what? The mouth of the upright will deliver you.
That's right. Yes, it will.
How does that work? Every day, I'm delivered from cigarettes.
That's right.
I'm delivered from cigarettes. I'm delivered from alcohol. I'm delivered from the pain in my leg or the pain in my side. I'm delivered from this condition. I'm delivered from the flu. I'm delivered. See, faith is going to have to say something. And yes, we need to mix faith. You've got to constantly mix faith.
That's right.
You know, just going to church isn't going to deliver you. You're going to have to get your mouth working, right? The mouth of the upright will deliver them, right? Another verse in that same chapter, Proverbs chapter 12, says, "In the tongue of the wise is health," right? I love Proverbs 15:4 in the Amplified. It says, "The wholesome tongue with its healing power is a tree of life." The tongue has healing power. You know, people say, well, I wonder when this is going to get better. It's going to get better when you start using your mouth every day. You got a confession. I'm delivered. You know, and you just start speaking with the tongue of the wise is health, a wholesome tongue, right? With its healing power is a tree of life. But let's put verses 2 and 3 and let's talk about specifically what the mixing of faith he was talking about here. He says, in verse 2, he says, "For unto us the gospel, the good news, was preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." Look at the first word of verse 3, "for." Or the literal word is "because." So verses 2 and 3 go together. So he's going to tell us how we mix faith here. He says, "For we which have believed do enter into rest." So faith isn't just speaking words. Faith also has rest.
Yes.
Glory to God. So notice the relationship between rest and faith. Okay? No rest, no faith.
Right?
No faith, no rest. You cannot have one without the other. If you truly believe, then rest will be the result.
Yes, sure.
And if you're resting, it's because you truly believe, right? No faith, no rest. No rest, no faith.
Right.
You can't have one without the other.
Right.
Rest is the evidence that you're in faith.
Yes, it is. Very good.
Yep.
That's right.
If you're overworked in your mind and tired mentally, you're not in faith. If you're worrying and thinking and striving in your mind, you're out of rest. You're not in faith.
That's right.
How do you mix faith? You rest.
Yes.
All right? And I'll explain exactly what that is. Hallelujah. Rest is not just getting enough sleep. Though that might be a part of the physical side of it. Rest is not just taking naps. Rest isn't just the result of clearing all trials and troubles in your life. All right? Rest, true internal rest, is a result that you truly believed.
That's it.
Now, what did you have to believe? Look at verse 3. It says, "For we which have believed do enter into rest." There it is. There is the byproduct of your faith. You can tell when somebody is releasing words, "By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed." All the doctors coming into the hospital room any time with a report. "By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed." And you're using it as an emergency type procedure. No faith. You can say it a trillion times, but if you say it from the place of panic, it will do you no good. People say, "Well, I'm saying it, I'm mixing faith." No, if you're going to truly mix faith, another key ingredient after you speaking is at rest.
Yes. Very good. That's right. Yes.
Rest is going to have to be there.
Yes, absolutely.
You're going to have to speak it, you're going to have to declare it, and then you're going to have to walk away from it and put it down.
Good. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's and that's where a lot of believers are missing it. They're not putting it down. They're working it in their mind. Okay, I said, okay. Okay, I'm saying. Yeah, but you're saying from a place of urgent panic and fear. You're trying to work it from the standpoint, if you just hammer that thing, you're going to have to say it. You're going to have to declare it. How long did Jesus stand at the fig tree? He said it. How many times did he say it? He said it once, and he walked away. Why? Because he believed what he said. If you have to say it 1,000 times, it's probably because you don't believe it. Yeah, we got to say over and over. But it's the way you say it. "Oh, I believe. By his stripes I was healed. By his stripes I was healed. The blessing of the Lord makes rich. I'll have every need. My God shall supply. My God shall supply. My God shall supply." No, that's not rest. "My God shall supply all my needs by his riches and glory."
Yes.
Done.
Done. Good.
Some of you are just trying to work it. You're trying to work it. Jesus didn't say to the fig tree, "Dry up from the roots and die." No, "Dry up from the roots and die." No, don't dry up from the roots and die. He didn't sit there forever and ever. He said, "I curse you that no man will ever eat fruit from you ever again." And he walked away. It was his disciples that were so surprised when it actually happened.
Yeah, sure.
Jesus was not the surprised one.
Right.
Remember the next day over there, Mark 11, Peter said, "Master, surely the fig tree that you cursed is withered away, dried up from the roots."
Yeah.
And Jesus looked over at Peter, and Jesus didn't say, "Oh, my goodness, can you believe it?" Jesus said over there in Mark 11, 22, he said, "Have the God kind of faith."
Yes.
What was the God kind of faith? How many times did God have to say, "Let there be light," before light showed up? How many times did he have to say, "Let there be dry earth"? Once. Every time he created during those days of creation, he said once. And guess what he did? After he said it once, he said, "It's good." He said, "It's good." Now, does that mean that you never have to say it again? That's not what I'm saying. You understand what? You've got to make sure that you understand exactly how I'm presenting this.
Right.
It's not that you can't repeat it, but it's how you repeat it.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You know, of course I go through my day and I say stuff several times, you know, but I say it from a place of rest, peace, not panic.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean? But we see with God, one time was enough.
Yeah.
Right? And then on the seventh day, it tells us that he rested. Why would God the Father, the Almighty Creator of heaven and earth, have to rest on day 7? I guess he got tired.
No.
I guess he must have just wore himself out. I guess, you know, he must have, a bad back or something. No, the Bible says that he rested. Why did he rest? Because he believed. He rested because he believed the words that he himself spoke would come to pass.
Yes.
You know? But if you speak and you're still tumbling it around in your mind and you're still worried and you're still thinking about it and you're still holding on to it, you've not entered into rest, and therefore you have not mixed faith. And now you will come short. Well, thank you for your enthusiasm today. Yeah. No rest, no faith, no faith, no rest. It's not just about sleep. It's not just about clearing trials in your life. It's not because everything is necessarily just a rosy picture around you. It's because on the inside, you believed. Now, what do you specifically believe? Look at verse 3. This is what I'm trying to get to. As I have sworn in my wrath, he's talking about the Old Testament Israelites. He says, I've sworn in my wrath. I got angry with those people. If they will not enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Yes. Here is what faith in rest really is. Are you ready? See, a lot of God's people are trying to make something happen. Wrong.
Right.
Wrong. Why was God angry with the Israelites? Because they were complaining. They were griping. Although God said, the thing is, I already prepared Canaan before the foundation of the world.
Yes.
The works are already done.
Yes.
Faith is a matter of believing what God has already done. Faith is not believing what God's going to do.
Right.
I got to say that again, because some of you are like, I'm believing, you know, and of course that's not a wrong statement, you know, but people say, you know, I hope that God meets my needs and God heals my body. I'm trying to get healed. I'm trying to get blessed. Well, that's your problem. You're trying.
Yeah, come on.
And, you know, I'll tell you what, if I've seen anything, it's faithful people that truly, sincerely love God, that are completely willing to give God all their effort, they will try the hardest, and they will fall short with the rest of them. Because they're trying so hard. And when I say that, people are like, oh my goodness, pastor's up there saying, I don't need to try spiritually anymore. Don't need to come to church anymore because I'm resting. I just believe God. Is that the message we're teaching? But if you're just trying, you cannot read yourself out of a trial. I don't care how many Brother Hagin books you can read. You cannot read yourself out of it. I don't care how many chapters of Scripture you can read in a day. You can't read your way out of a trial. Do you understand? I'm going to tell you another thing that's going to shock you. You can't pray your way, meaning you cannot just stack up prayer hours and bring your hours to God and say, here it is, this is why I deserve rest. He's going to say, great, wonderful, you prayed, you hung the moon in prayer, but that is not where rest comes from. Prayer was not meant to pray yourself out of something. Prayer is meant to pray yourself into something. Pray yourself into a greater relationship with God. It's fellowship with God. Not trying to clock in your hours to bring before God and say, okay, now I deserve something. It don't work that way. Come on now. Oh, hallelujah. Now, some people, don't you dare take this message and say, man, the pastor said I don't have to pray. No. Is that what we're saying? Because if you're sincere, you're going to want to pray. But don't you dare, when you start facing a trial, just say, I know what I'll do to get out of this trial. I'll do more.
Right.
I'll work harder. And what I mean by that, now, of course, you need to check up on your life. If there's some reason, the Bible says to examine yourself. And there's two places where trials come from. Okay? One, from the enemy. And two, because we've left things undone.
Sure.
Okay? But if you're clear in your heart, if you have followed God the best you know how, and yet things are still attacking you, there are such things as just plain out attack.
Sure. Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying? If it's just an attack, right, you believe God. You enter into rest. You stay in rest. Don't say, well, this came on me because I didn't pray enough, or I didn't do this enough. Listen, you'll never pray enough.
Right.
I don't pray to pray enough.
No, you're right.
I pray to fellowship with God.
There it is. There's a difference. Amen.
Man, I've seen it. I've seen it in our own camp. There's like this robotic attitude about word and prayer.
Yeah, come on. Come on.
It's robotic. Add plus this, plus 1 hour here, plus 30 minutes here, plus, equals give me something good, God. Do you want to have a relationship with your spouse like that?
No.
Do you want to have a relationship with your kids like that?
No, come on.
Fellowship with God is a day. Of course, we go in and we spend quality time. We pray. We seek God.
Yes.
I do that because I want to.
Yes.
Because I desire to. Yes. Because of I want to see my Father. I want to spend time
yes.
with Him. Not to chick, good enough, ding. Chick. I know some of you are looking at me weird, like, oh my goodness, I've never heard him say stuff like this. Well, because I've seen it. And of course, there's so many faithful people here, and it's so easy when you're eager and you're willing and you'll do whatever for God. We'll just try to, you know, we'll work enough. Try to pour in the extra hours or whatever. No. Those that believe do enter into rest because they believe it's already done.
Yes, that's right.
It's already done.
Already done.
It's already done.
That's right.
Come on, get a hold of this, somebody.
Right.
If you're sitting there wondering if your healing is going to show up, you're not in faith.
Right.
Because you got your faith somewhere out there in the future when you should be looking back and said, that's when it was done. It's already done. Before this earth was ever even established, your healing was already done.
Yes, that's right.
Before this earth was ever established, your prosperity was already done.
Yes.
Before this earth was ever established, every financial need was met, every sickness and disease was healed, every anxiety and depression was cured, everything was done. Glory to God. Faith is not believing what God can do or might do. It's believing that He's already done it.
That's it.
Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. It's a done work. And if you're thinking about it and wondering, and where is it and why hasn't it happened, you are not in the rest of faith.
Yes.
Because rest comes when you have all believe it's already done.
That's right.
It's already done.
That's right.
Where's the elimination of your debt? It's already done.
Yeah.
This building is it's already paid off.
Yeah, sure.
It's already done in the eyes of God.
Yes.
My body's already healed. Well, Pastor Rabbi, I went through an attack. Listen, the devil is going to constantly challenge you to try to think that it's not done. It is done.
Well,
Pastor, I got to work harder to get it. You're trying to achieve what God already did. You're wasting your time. I don't pray. I hope this is making sense. Come on now. And this is the third thing that I wanted to get to, the definition of what faith is. Faith is believing what is already accomplished. How many of you saved born-again believers woke up today and said the salvation prayer? Did any of you? You know? Were any of you there when Jesus was crucified? No. You didn't wake up this morning and say, okay, every morning, I got to confess my salvation. Isn't that called bondage? But why do we do it with everything else? Why do we do that with everything else? See, the reason why you've never been to heaven, you never saw Jesus at his resurrection, you never had any physical evidence of anything pertaining to your salvation. But how many of you are at complete rest about being saved?
Yes.
Yeah. You raise your hand. You're at rest with it. Why? Because you've truly believed. How many of you truly born again people are spending time every day worrying about your salvation? You're not. You're not thinking twice of it. Why? Because you've entered into rest.
Very good.
You've let it go. You've moved on. You've gone past that. Why? It's already done. It was done for you when? Yesterday? No. Was salvation provided for you when you prayed? No, it was provided what? Thousands of years ago. It was already done. The Bible says that Jesus was a lamb slain before the foundations of the earth, meaning that in God's mind, it was already accomplished because he said it in his will, and once he knew it was his will, it was going to get accomplished.
Yes, that's right.
Right? As long as Jesus stayed faithful and did what he was supposed to do, and of course, Jesus did. All right? So the definition, simply believing the works are already done, trying to achieve what has already been provided for you isn't going to work. You can't work yourself out of trouble. Oh, I know I'm going through a trial. I better do something more. I'm going through a financial trouble. I better double my workload. I better do this. We start adding works. Works don't provide rest.
No,
they don't. You're in Hebrews 4. Drop down to verse 10. Glory to God. Verse 10, for he, talk about any person, that has entered into God's rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. What did God do when it was done? He rested. Come on, I hope some of you get a hold of this, because I'm just going to keep repeating this. What would you do if it was already done? If it is already done, I would probably just be happy. It would be a great burden lifted off my shoulder. I would actually enjoy myself and have fun in life and be lighthearted and have a sense of humor and do something that I enjoyed. Come on now. Yeah. You know, I'm pretty sure no one showed up this morning. Well, maybe not on Sunday. But tomorrow morning, I'm pretty sure no one's going to show up at the Empire State Building with their construction gear on, or the Mount Rushmore, what other great national treasures do we have? The Statue of Liberty. No one's going to show up to build on any of those things tomorrow because they know they're already done. It's finished. There's nothing you're going to do that's going to add to the healing power of God. You just simply cooperate.
That's it.
You simply believe. That's already done. Glory to God. I'm the healed of the Lord. By his stripes, I am healed. I was healed. I am healed. I stay healed. Glory to God. I'm not trying to get anything. But if I tithe, I know what I'll do. I'm going through a trial. I'm going to double my tithe. Well, boy, the church would sure like that if you did. But that isn't how you get rest. Well, if you've been disobedient and you've left the door open, if you're not tithing, not obeying God, if he's telling you things to do, well, then you got to obey that. But if you've done everything he's told you to do, there's nothing more to do. Are you ready for a little revelation in the Word?
Yes.
Go to Revelation chapter 2. Hold your place there in Hebrews 4. We may come back there. I'm going to show you how it is in the New Testament. Here's what rest is. It's already done.
Yeah, that's right.
When you see a soured-faced Christian not enjoying life, they're not in rest. They don't believe it's already done. They think, well, my financial troubles right now, I mean, it's just what I'm going through. Well, if you believed it was already taken care of, guess what? You could laugh. Why was Jesus sleeping on a sinking boat?
Yeah, sure. Oh, that's good.
Remember that? Mark chapter 4, sleeping on the back of the pillow, boat was filling with water, great storm, waves crashing into the boat, boat now filled with water. It says, and Jesus slept while waves were hitting him. Rain was hitting him. Wind was driving upon him. He was sleeping. He wasn't. How many times did Jesus say, peace be still? He didn't give up. Say, okay, I'm going to try this faith business. Peace be still. No, I mean, peace be still. Peace. No, I meant it this time. Peace. He said it from a place of rest.
Yes, he did.
Not a place of panic. He was well rested. Therefore, he got up. He's like, there's no way this boat's going to sink. Not with me in it. He said, peace, be still. Amen. Glory to God. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 24. Let's go over there. You getting anything out of this? So what is rest? Rest is the product of believing it's already done.
Yes, that's right.
It was already done before the foundations of the world.
Right.
So, well, Pastor, is it wrong to pray all the time? Of course not.
Come on.
Let's be people of prayer.
Yeah.
But let's be people of prayer for the right reasons. Talk to God. Some of the greatest men of God, Smith Wigglesworth, he said, I don't pray for more than 15 minutes, but I don't go more than 15 minutes without praying. John G. Lake changed the world. He said, I go as I pray. I pray as I go. What was they saying? He's like, we fellowship with God all the time. We weren't writing some schedule with God. Here I go, add up my hours, add up my time, check in with God. How about this? The Bible says, pray without ceasing.
That's right. Amen.
Can you pray in your car? Yeah. Should you have times just alone in an empty room just praying and worshiping? Yes. How about when you're on your way to work? How about for you young mothers changing a diaper? See, we take fellowship with God and we put it in these institutional kind of, this recipe-like fashion. And we what we do is we make such a duty out of it.
Yeah, you're right.
And we rob the joy of fellowshipping with God.
That's it. Yeah.
People, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Yeah, you should have a drive to pray and seek God. But if you're just there, okay, God, well, now I'm finally here because now there's a trial upon me. And now since there's a trial on me, now's the time I better start praying. Well, you missed it then.
Yeah, right. That's right.
Trials shouldn't change anything.
That's it. Very good.
Right?
That's right?
They shouldn't change your fellowship. Right. Some people say, well, I'm going through a hard time. Now's the time to be fellowshipping with God. No, all the time.
That's it. Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Look at this. Revelation 2, 24. Talking to the Christians, these are New Testament believers just like you and I, in a church called Thyatira. And he's Jesus speaking. He says to these Christians, listen to what Jesus wrote in this letter to these believers. He says, but unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, talking about an evil doctrine. He's talking now to the faithful believers. He said, and to those which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak. So you, of course, can tell by what a person is doing, by what they're saying.
Oh, yeah.
He says, I will put upon you none other burden. Look at verse 25. Highlight it in your Bible. Circle it. Underline it. Meditate on this. But that which you have already, hold fast till I come. Oh my gosh. Get a hold of this. That which you have already, just hold on to it. Believe what you already have. How many of you already have salvation provided for you?
Yes.
Have healing provided for you. Salvation is a finished work. Healing is a finished work. Prosperity is a finished work. Peace is a finished work. Joy is a finished work. Strength is a finished work. It's all finished. He says, I'm going to put nothing more on you. He says, those of you that haven't known the depths of Satan, you don't need to change at all. So unless you've known the depths of Satan, don't think that you're going to work yourself out of something.
Right.
Hold on to what you already have.
Amen.
That's the problem. You didn't know what you already have.
Right. There it is. Yeah.
You already have it.
Yes.
That's right.
We're looking for things. You know, you ever done that before? Searching for your car keys. And it's in. You know what? Here we go. I have this uncanny habit, reputation, whatever. I always jump in my truck and I forget my cell phone in the car. My wife and I, we have this running joke that I have at least one more trip back into the house to get my cell phone. And a lot of times when I'm in my casual time, I like hoodie sweatshirts. Is there anyone else that likes to wear a hoodie? I guess you are all so spiritual. You dress up even at home and things. And so I have a hooded sweatshirt on, but I'll put a coat on over that. But I'll have the cell phone in the little, you know, koala pocket. The little kangaroo, the two side, you know, your hands can meet in the middle. And I'll have the cell phone in there, and I put the coat. And, of course, I'm checking all the pockets on my side. I'm looking around the house, and here it is. I can't find my cell phone. And I'm like, where is it? You know, and I'm sitting there. I'm like, oh, wait. Oh, there it is. It's right there in the middle. It was with me the whole time. You know, that's what God's saying. It's been with you the whole time. See, what people do is when they go through something, they say, okay, and this is what sincere people do. I'm going through a hard time. Therefore, it's something having to do with me. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to add more effort on. I'm going to add more prayer time on. I'm going to add more reading books on. I'm going to read myself, pray myself. I'm going to do all this right out of this thing. You can't. You can't. It's impossible until you enter into rest and say, I already got it. So now when you say, I already got it, now when you go into prayer, it'll work for you.
Amen.
Prayer does not work for people until they already have it. You don't pray from the standpoint of going to say, I'm going to try to get something from God. You go to fellowship with God, and faith says, God, I believe I already have it. Thank you, Father. Thank you for my healing. Thank you. It belongs to me. It's mine. It was done from the foundations of the earth. All my debt is paid. Every need is met. Glory to God, I'm in peace. I'm in rest. I'm resting now on what was already done and not relying on what I have to do. Are you resting on what was already done or relying on what you're going to do? Every time I hear a Christian make a New Year's resolution to be more spiritual, ain't going to work. Not going to work. Because you're trying to kick up what you are going to do. But see, when you're motivated, I'll tell you, you want to know the Christians that go on and change the world and do the most is those that get a revelation of what God's already done.
Yes.
Because now they move not because of what they're trying to do. They move because of what God's already done.
That's it.
You know what I mean? I'm not here fulfilling God's will to be a pastor because it's something I'm trying to do. I'm here, I'm just fulfilling God's will because I'm so moved at what he did at the cross of Christ and that he gave his own son and the foundations of the earth that he already put this plan in motion. I just simply stay faithful because what he's already done.
Yes. Amen.
I'm not trying to get God to do anything more. He cannot do anything more than what is already done. And until you fellowship with God with that knowledge, it won't work for you. You're going to get tired, burn out, spirit, soul, and body. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Let's read that verse 25 again. But that which you already have, hold fast till I come. Revelation 2:25, there's your homework, right? Just hold fast what you already have.
Amen.
Hold fast what you already have.
That's right.
Hold fast what you already have. I already have. Well, I can't see it, Pastor Tim. I don't see the provision I already have. I don't see the healing I already have. I don't see it the way you seem to be talking. That's your problem. Is that you're trying to get it out here until you get it in here. Until you get it in here. I see so many people, Christians, they're stressing out, working, you know, just so stressed in the midst of trial. I tell you, right then I know they're not in rest.
Right.
And everything they're doing is worthless. It's all worthless until you're in rest.
That's right. Amen.
Something wrong with a believer that doesn't laugh. Has no joy.
That's good.
You're not lighthearted. Go back to Hebrews. Let's just take a look at some verses real quick here. Go to Hebrews 1. In verse 9. Let's just look at our great example, Jesus. Some of you stone-faced, pickled-faced, lemon juice Christians out there. I'm not, of course, talking about any of you in here. You're all just the pinnacle of joy and friendliness. You are. You really are. But, of course, none of us have ever been tested to be sour-faced. But let's look at Jesus. Hebrews 1:9, talking about Jesus. It says, you, talking about Jesus, God talking to Christ himself. Thou, meaning Jesus, has loved righteousness, hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. I'll tell you what, don't you believe those Mormon commercials? Jesus is not some stoic, pious, stone-faced. You understand? He was anointed because he was just simply following God out of a heart to know God. He wasn't trying to get God to do anything for him. It says he had the oil of gladness above his fellows. Jesus was happier than everyone else. He was more joyous. He laughed. He enjoyed life. Let me show you some other scriptures. Go back over there. Where is it? Matthew 11. You know where I'm going. Hallelujah, glory to God, we're just about done. I got 11:59 up here. This is going to be the best 60 seconds of your life. Matthew 11:28. Glory to God. Now, do you take a message like this and run it too far and just stop having any responsibility for God? Of course not. Of course you want to pray. Of course you read your word, but it's about a privilege and a joy and to know God and not trying to, you know, work and stress yourself and schedule God into your life. I mean, my goodness. We're not robots. You know what I mean? Have a real relationship with God every minute of the day. Right? Verse 28, Matthew 11:28, Jesus speaking says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you true Sabbath. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Okay, what is, okay, Jesus, I'm here to learn of you. He says, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus says, you want to know how to live life? He says, there's only one way to live life. He says, live like me, light and easy. Yeah. Light and easy the whole time knowing that he was going to the cross.
Right.
You've never faced a trial out ahead of you like he faced.
No. Come on.
Light and easy. Amen. If you are not lighthearted, you're not in faith. You're not. If you're trying to put on, if you aren't yourself around other Christians, you're not in faith. Pastor Nancy, I had lunch with Pastor Nancy Dufresne out in California a few weeks ago, and she said something that stuck to me. She said, people that can be themselves tend to be the most spiritual. But if you're trying to put on a show, I did that for the first 2 years I pastored. I was trying to be like everybody else, trying to be what a pastor should be. Stone cold and bigger than everybody else, sophisticated and dignified. And then I realized that is just a big hokey show. Yeah. Glory to God. Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Go to, let's see, where was I going to take you? How about Hebrews chapter 12? I'm just being led now. Just showing you the word. What does the word say? Jesus' burden was light and easy. He was anointed with the oil of gladness. Amen. Hallelujah. Hebrews 12. Amen.
Amen.
Verse 2. Hebrews 12 in verse 2. Here we go. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Everyone say faith.
Faith.
All right, so this is talk about what faith is and what faith does. Did I say something funny? Here's some snickers. People snickering at me. Here we go. Let's keep reading here. The author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. How did Jesus endure the cross? With joy. Was it fun what he went through in the flesh? No. So it obviously wasn't joy in the flesh. But he went to that. He went to that cross knowing what was on the other side of it. You and me.
Yeah.
Glory to God. You will not make it in this life without joy.
That's right.
You won't make it if you're not lighthearted and you don't learn to laugh and be real. Come on now. Praise the Lord. There's another verse that came to me a few moments ago, but it just escaped me. But Hebrews 12, 2, I think, fits the bill. For the joy that was set for him. Right? What does it go on to say? He despising the shame, right? He endured the cross. He despised the shame and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Look what it says in verse 3. For consider him that endured. How did he endure? With joy. He endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You wonder why people get tired in life? Because they're not lighthearted. They're not acting in the joy. They're not taking things light and easy because they're still working and they're not being like God. God said, I ceased from my works. The New Testament is about what? Ceasing from works. What does that mean? Let's qualify that statement, because everyone's going to be like, okay, I'm in the ministry of helps. I'm done. My whole ministry of helps here. No. It's about a state of mind or an attitude.
Yes.
If you're serving in nursery just to get a bless, just to get something from God, wrong. If you're bringing your tithe just to get something from God, wrong. If you're praying just to pray yourself out of a trial, wrong. Right?
That's right?
Our motives matter.
That's right.
Your motives matter. I'm not in church to fulfill an attendance policy. You know, I'm in church to be with God and to be with you and to praise Him and worship Him and to enjoy myself.
Yes.
I tell you what, I am going to get that pickle face off you before it's over. If I have to scrub it off with a brush. You hear me say all the time, you better get a sense of humor and you better get one quick.
Amen.
You know?
Yeah.
Because religion is a dead thing. In the oil of gladness, the joy of the Lord, the rest of God, it's handled. Hold on to what you already have.
Yeah.
Hold fast until he comes.
Yes.
It doesn't mean you don't serve in the local church. It doesn't mean you don't pray. It doesn't mean you don't put your flesh under. It doesn't mean you don't praise and worship. Of course, there's action and demonstration. Right? Right?
Yes, that's right.
Right. But it's not there so you can just work yourself out of a hard time. You know? We praise God because he's worthy. And of course, the byproduct is blessing.
Sure.
Faithful man does abound in blessing. But I'm not just trying to work something to pry my blessing, pry God's hand off my blessing. God says it's already provided. It's already done. Before the foundations of the earth. I mean, how would you act today if your situation was already handled? It's already done. Already done. Well, but Pastor, well, what do I do? Then you missed it. What do I have to do? What do I have to do? Listen, all you do is you believe, stay faithful, hold on. Jesus isn't putting any more burden on you.
That's right.
Well, what do I have to do? Where's the penance I have to serve? Where's my deal in it? Just stay faithful. Stay faithful. Just do what you're told to do. But let's pray. Father God, we love you today. You're so good. Lord, thank you. This is your rest. Believing it's already done.
Yes.
And Father, if we're not resting, it's because we don't believe it's already done. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you. It's already handled. Our healing, already done. Our salvation, it's already done. Father God, we thank you. It's already done. We just believe. We enter into rest. We cease from our works. We stop trying to get. We just serve. Our effort is out of love. And just to please you and to worship you and to be with you. And to sow into the Spirit and reap life. Yeah. Yeah, Father God, thank you. It's not to just try to put our effort on something to get it done ourselves. We can't. Our strength won't get it done. We have to cast our cares, for you care for us. Lord, your yoke is easy. Your burden is light. Yeah. You're anointed with the joy of the oil of gladness. You endured with joy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Father. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Yeah. Praise God. Can we just go ahead? Bring up the lights. Everyone go ahead and look up here. The Spirit of God reminded me of that scripture. I'm going to share it. Can we be led here?
Yes.
Well, that's not how we usually end service, Pastor Tim. Well, guess what? The Holy Ghost runs this service. Go to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. This is the instructions of Christ. Go to Mark 6 and verse 30. Now, how many of you know that at any given time there was anywhere between 8,000 and 12,000 people following Jesus around?
Yes.
How many of you know that's a lot of work?
Yes.
And of course, his 12 apostles were serving with him to help in the business side of things. And in verse 30 it says, "And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And Jesus said unto them, Great job, keep working hard. That's what ministry is. That's what life is. It's just a non-stop." Oh, wait, am I reading that wrong? "And Jesus said unto them, Come you yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going. They had no leisure so much as to eat." Jesus said, "Yeah, great job. Go do something fun."
Yeah, that's it. Sure.
Don't hear too many messages on that. You know? Yeah, you're working hard. Go and enjoy yourself. Because they thought, "Jesus, aren't you proud of us? We work so hard, we skip lunch." He said, "Yeah, go rest and take a vacation."
Yes, that's right.
Because he's like, "It's not good. You have no leisure.
Yeah.
And it's not good for you."
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, there's that. Well, wouldn't want to enjoy life. Wouldn't want to take a rest. Take a break. Oh, I got to do more for God. I got to be in every meeting, serve in every department, and do all this stuff. No. No. Do what God's called you to do, and make sure you have time to rest. You get a little something out of that? Doesn't sound like what we think Jesus would say. You know, he think he said, "Well done, apostles. You worked yourself so hard. Now surely I owe you a blessing. What miracle would you want me to do now? Because way to go. You worked, you skipped lunch, now you deserve a miracle." He said, "Yeah. Go get some leisure." Father God, we thank you and praise you today. Just go ahead and leave the lights up.